This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
It's time for the Score Evening Show. Weeknight 6 till 9 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Here's your host, Judson Richards.
Broadcasting live from the Score Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. Hi there, everybody. Judson Richards with you until 9 o'clock this evening. No Cubs baseball tonight, but the first place Cubs and the Nationals, well, they will square off tomorrow night in Nation's Capital. You'll hear that game right here on 670 The Score, but you got me tonight. We will talk plenty about the Cubs, that is, including one of the first turning points of the season. We'll get to that coming up in just about 10 minutes, but let's begin here. Mandatory minicamp begins tomorrow. I like that word mandatory. That means that things are about to get serious. We are 98 days away. Is it too early to count? 98 days away until that Monday night football matchup, the Vikings and the Bears, and things will get started in week one. So as mandatory minicamp begins tomorrow, guys are expected to be there, and Ben Johnson, Caleb Williams, and the rest of his team, they get serious about what is right there in front of them. Well, they have finally been able to turn the page on the great distraction that happened over the last couple of weeks. And I say that with incredible sarcasm because, first of all, if there was ever a time to have a distraction, it's in the month of May. I don't know what they're being distracted from. No one was able to tie their shoes for OTAs or whatever was happening because of this distraction from Caleb Williams. And if you are going to have one, you may as well do it when you're months removed from the season beginning. But I still say that one of the reasons why this was such a storyline, why the excerpt from a book that doesn't drop until September got so much conversation, is because we love the sports parenting aspect of what we're watching unfold in front of us, right? There, if you ever go out to a game and you've got a loud sports mom or dad, what are the rest of the parents probably doing? They're probably talking about that sports mom or dad making all the noise. Very recently, I thought that the NFL draft was taking over by a storyline that had to do with a sports parent. That was Deion Sanders and how it may or may not have affected Shedeur Sanders and where he was drafted. If Shedeur's name was Tyler Shuck, it would have been an afterthought that he may have slipped a little bit in the draft. There's a sports dad that may visit the city of Chicago quite a bit by the name of LeVar Ball to watch his son Lonzo. And then one of my favorites, here's a documentary for you if you're looking for one, is, you know the name Marv Marinovich? You remember Todd Marinovich? Do you remember the ESPN documentary, The Marinovich Project, where he virtually turned his one-month-old child, beginning at that age, into a science project and then somewhat broke his son as he was unable to live up to the expectations of dad? Well, I'm here to say that Carl Williams isn't any of those things, right? Caleb Williams certainly isn't impacted as we've watched it unfold, because there's one thing that I think was lost in the fascination of the sports parenting or the relationships between dad and son, Carl and Caleb, is that as they were considering these things that they were thinking about doing, whether it was going to the UFL or getting an attorney. When Caleb Williams came to Halas Hall and he decided that the Bears were going to be the team for him, Caleb went back and told his dad what they were going to do. And anyone who knows anything about perhaps not a great relationship, or you have an overbearing or controlling parent, whether you're in your, you know, early years, or if you're 22, 23, 24 years old, the parent often decides your path, often decides your life. Well, Caleb was one who made the decision of what he was going to do in the biggest decision of his life. So my biggest takeaway from that storyline, now that it is behind us, is that not only that Caleb ultimately chose the Bears, but he did not do it along with his dad. He told his dad his path. Here was Caleb asked about his relationship with his dad.
Does your dad speak for you?
No. No. I actually shut my dad down quite a bit. He has ideas. He's a smart man. And so I listen, and I always listen. And I'm very fortunate to be in this position, in the sense of, you know, playing QB, but also very fortunate to have a very strong-minded father. You know, we talk very often. It's like my mom and my dad are my best friends. And so, you know, being able to, you know, have conversations with them, to understand that everything they say also is, you know, portrayed on me. So I think that's the part of it. But other than that, no, I mean, I'm, like I said, I'm very fortunate to have a father, you know, that's super strong-minded, that's always there, always wants the best for his kid. And I think, you know, any of y'all that has a kid or, you know, anything like that, a niece or nephew that you love so dearly, you know, they try and help and you know, you try and help and put them in positions that you know, it's best position that you can. So that's all he tries to do. But no, definitely a grown man. And, you know, I shut him down quite a lot, just because, you know, in season, out of season, something that you have to do. You know, he cares so much about me and, you know, my future. And we've been along this journey so long together that, you know, all he wants is the best for me. And so if anything happens, he's super, you know, super high headed. And it's more of like, all right, like, go ahead and go away, you know, reset and things like that. So, you know, love him to death and things like that. And like I said, super fortunate to have him. But, you know, we have talks about it, understanding that, you know, it's a right place and a right time. And then, you know, there's times where it's not.
So that was Caleb, who said, I'm a grown man and sometimes I have to shut him down. Now, for you to go say that about your dad, you probably have a pretty good relationship with your old man. But Caleb doesn't need to say that. He proved it. That's what the excerpt of the book actually tells you, that although they talked about all of these things and, you know, there was kind of an offensive-minded bromance with Kevin O'Connell for how long, Caleb came to Halas Hall, came home, and told his dad the direction of the biggest decision he was ever going to make in his life. So as we get set for mandatory minicamp tomorrow, I actually think Seth Wickersham may have given Caleb a little bit of a gift. He certainly gave him more experience at the podium, but what he gave him is the feeling of what it would be like to be an actual distraction, right? This was like a diet distraction or a distraction light. Caleb used the distraction. No one else really, really felt like, especially Case Keenum said, yeah, I didn't really see any of that. But what Caleb had to go through was the feeling of your coach and your teammates answering questions about you. And this is not the kind of questions that Caleb's used to, because you used to, usually it's like, hey, how is he better than everyone else? Or, you know, his arm strength or his ability to extend plays. The, you know, the greatness that Caleb has grown up really with the acumen under center. Caleb, for the first time in his NFL career, had to have people be asking questions about him that were not positive. So experience comes in all different shapes and sizes. And this experience for Caleb ultimately is one that gave him the sense of something he probably doesn't want to be. But he was reminded, and so was his dad, by the way, he was reminded that every move you make, everything you say, it is going to be scrutinized. And Caleb should want to be scrutinized. You know why? Because you scrutinize greatness. There's not a lot of books written about forgettable players after the first few years of their NFL career. What's scrutinized is everything you do and say when you are a great player. And so Caleb got a little taste of that with this book excerpt, a bit absurd with things that he said and did not ultimately do a couple of years ago. And I get it, he alluded to not being able to watch film the best way because he was set up for failure. But Caleb got a real taste of what it could be like as an actual distraction within the building. And so if you ever need to be reminded that, hey, you know, if you're driving down the freeway and you're Caleb Williams, somebody cuts you off and you get a little angry, I wouldn't say anything or raise any fingers because people are always watching. The reminder that people are always watching and that they are listening. And his old man, you know, I think Carl Williams has done a terrific job raising his son. I'd slow down on the Twitterverse a little bit when he likes, you know, things that other teams are doing. And I think they've all gotten a reminder that you are a lightning rod. Do not give a reason for people to strike down when you are that kind of a lightning rod, right? Because as we get set for minicamp, we hope that this team is trending in the right direction. And the scrutiny, if they're any good, if the scrutiny in this market with who Caleb Williams is, he got a great taste of what it's like to be a distraction, and I thought he handled it really well at the podium. This is what Caleb had to say about that.
First, to start off with it is what everybody would love to ask about is this whole storm that happened. It wasn't something that, you know, we wanted to happen at this point. You know, we're focused on the present. We're focused on now. We're focused on, you know, trying to get this ship moving in the right direction. And I think so far that's what we've been doing. But for this to come out, it's been a distraction. So coming up here and talking about it and addressing it is important today. And so that's what we're here to do.
It was like a dry walkthrough of being a distraction, right? Caleb got to feel, because if you heard him, he wanted to go to the podium. He called a distraction far more than anybody else did. And so in this offseason, as Caleb is, you know, changing his footwork and learning a new offense and trying to grow, I feel like he got a little bit of growth of some off-the-field stuff, too. Nothing serious. Nothing that even felt like needed this big rush to the podium for podium theater for Caleb to address. But you saw how he felt about it. And I thought that this may be a big, you know, a big growing area for Caleb where you always need to be reminded at times when you're QB1, that people are watching. And he got a good reminder of that. And let's hope that from now on, we can focus on important things like areas of weakness for this roster, where they need to improve on the defensive line or the running back position as well. And looking forward to mandatory mini camp coming up. Scott Baer of the Marquee Sports Network will join us coming up in just about 15 minutes. We will talk about what he expects to see tomorrow at mandatory mini camp. Looking forward to Mark Sweeney. Of FS1, Mark Sweeney covers not only the NL Central, Major League Baseball, but the Cardinals as well. So we'll talk Cubs and NL Central with Sweeney coming up at 7 o'clock. Looking forward to Dan Wyke of the LA Times. We'll cover the Bulls, the NBA Draft, a little NBA Finals. We'll do that at 8 o'clock. Anything you hear tonight, want to jump in, always open. 312-644-6767. Judson Richards with you until 9 o'clock. Alan Staszynski on the other side of the glass there as well, producing this show. We should probably talk about, I don't know if we can call them the best team in baseball as of now. Certainly going to call them the best team in the National League as they have the record to prove it. At 37-22, the Cubs are 15-5 in their last 20 games and just won 5 of 6 in their homestand. There was a moment that I felt like, listen, 162 games, you're going to have a lot of moments. You're going to have a lot of turning points. There isn't just one turning point in a Major League Baseball season. There are pivots. There are turning points when you go backwards. There are turning points when you go forwards. One turning point that I saw from this team came back on May 19th. Do any of you remember what happened on May 19th? I'd be very impressed if you remembered that that was a game against the Marlins in Miami where Daniel Palencia came in the game in the ninth inning, really his first major save opportunity. He blew that save opportunity. They lost that game 8-7. But what happened in that game, because the Cubs coming into that one against the Marlins, they felt a little wobbly to me, right? Still winning games, still had a great record. But the wobbles were in two areas. The closer in the ninth inning, Ryan Pressly had recently given up all of those runs to the Giants in extra innings. He lost the closer role. Been very good, but still hasn't gotten it back, and I wouldn't expect him to get it back. And then there was that revolving door at third base. You remember all the way back when Gage Workman was getting opportunities at third base, and, you know, Vidal Brujan was there, and John Birdie was there, and Justin Turner was there, and it was like, who's going to be at third base today? And it was like, well, I don't really know, because none of them seem to be playing very, very well, and no one seems to be locking down that spot. So you had confusion, it felt like, in two main areas. And then in that one game against the Miami Marlins, they changed both of those things and somewhat solidified it as of now. Things can always change. Craig Counsell hasn't gone out of his way to go ahead and name Daniel Palencia the closer. I wouldn't expect him to do it. That's just not his style. It's not his way. And by the way, if there's a ninth inning where someone else sets up much better from a matchup or leverage standpoint, then it may not be Palencia. But I can tell you this, Palencia heading into the season had one save. He has five saves now. Palencia has a 1.74 ERA. And for Matt Shaw, since he's been back, what does he have, a 326 batting average? I think he has an 890 OPS. In that one game, they solidified two roles for the time being that has been a big part of this team that is now, again, 15 games over 500, four-game lead last check at the NL Central, 15-5 in the last 20, and 5-1 in the last homestand. Let's hear from Craig Counsell. This was Counsell a day or two ago on Matt Shaw's improvement from where he began the season to now we've seen him since that Marlins game on May 19th.
I think you see him a little more upright at the plate. That's probably the physical change you see the most. You know, he's used the experience really well. He used the feedback that he got from the first 3 weeks of the season really well. And then you start going to things that I'm not sure, the short spring training, but I think he's comfortable right now and he's getting better. And he's taken feedback that both coaches, players, the league has given him and gotten better.
You know, one of the things that's been best by Matt Shaw, one of the things he's doing best is just playing great defense. Yes, you want him to hit. Yes, it's important that he is not an automatic out. But when you have as many bats playing as well as the Cubs are in this lineup, just to be able to solidify that third base position and not have it be a revolving door, and for him to be reliable, accountable, like Matt Shaw is defensively, and then you're going to take what you're going to get because they do have hopes that he's going to be a great hitter. But him locking it down defensively, I felt, has been a major boon and a turning point for this team. And then you go on the mound. Listen, one of the things that had me concerned the most about Ryan Pressly, not only was how hard simply he was getting hit, but he had a fastball of 93.4 miles per hour. 93 in the bigs is kind of like facing 85, 86 miles per hour in college. It just isn't that competitive, especially in the ninth inning. So what do? You go from perhaps your softest throwing right-hander in the bullpen, and now you go to your hardest thrower. 99.2 miles per hour is Daniel Palencia's average fastball. That is in the 99th percentile in all of Major League Baseball. Does he have a great complementary pitch? No, not necessarily, but he can develop it. He can keep working on it. And most importantly, he looks like he is comfortable enough as of now in that role to be your ninth inning guy, because that takes a special kind of makeup. And when you throw about 100 miles per hour, you should have a good makeup to feel confident on the mound. And I love watching him close games. He's got five saves, had one heading into the season. So there is some learning on the job for both of those guys. But when you have a team that's playing so well, they look like they are settling into those roles as well. Here's Craig Counsell a couple days ago, asked about Daniel Palencia.
Palencia continues to be impressive in that role. Still, you know, being 102, and, you know, you can get him out at 100 too, right? I
mean, yeah, when he backs off a little. I think Daniel's pitching with a lot of confidence, and that's the big thing. And I think that's the change, really, is he's a confident pitcher. And that's a credit to him for kind of processing it, understanding what happened, how he just – what what can get you off track during an outing, and that stuff doesn't get him off track now. And that's just, you know, getting better. It's taking the next step as a player, and he's done a really nice job of it.
That's Craig Counsell on Daniel Palencia. Craig isn't going to say the word closer. If he's the guy that he runs out in the ninth inning more often than not, then yeah, Palencia is your closer. So again, back on May 19th, they didn't make just one major decision. They made two. Matt Shaw called back up, and it sounded like he'd only been working on that leg kick a couple of days of lessening how high he lifted his leg, but I think they just wanted someone to hold down that position instead of the revolving door. Shaw at third base, Palencia, you know he's got the stuff to be a closer, and as of now, it looks like he's grabbed that role. And we should also applaud Craig Counsell as he makes his way from year one to year two, right? Year one, you felt like he was not only learning the team, but also was learning the organization. As of now, Craig Counsell, if he's hitting, he's hot. Craig Counsell, you know, if he's a hitter currently, you want him up at the plate because every move Counsell seems to be making is working pretty darn well. You have to like this last series where they didn't need to win 10-8 or 13-9. The wind was blowing in a lot. It was cold at Wrigley Field. How many different kinds of ways can this team win? That's what we're watching as of now. 37-22. Still 4 months to go. 2 months in, 4 months to go. But as of now, if you look at the depth of this team, a manager that is making really, really smart decisions, a bullpen that has vastly improved, and you may worry about starting pitching. I get it. There's not a team in Major League Baseball that isn't going, do we have enough starting pitching as of now? The Cubs are going to have to continue to work through that, but you like to work through things when you're in first place. That's a really good place to be when you're working through things. Judson Richards with you until 9 o'clock tonight. Cubs baseball coming back tomorrow as they'll take on the Nationals. But coming up next, what should we be watching for tomorrow at Halas Hall as mandatory minicamp begins? We'll ask Marquise Scott Baer coming up next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scored!
Save up to 50% with minimum purchase at Blinds.com. And a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 50% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
His dad can do all the research he wants and have his best interest in mind, but it's Caleb's decision. And everybody knew that. And everyone respected that, for that matter. And so I think that when he's saying that, I think that he's, my gut would tell me that, you know, he's reiterating, letting people know that, like, you know, he loves his father and his father has his best interest at heart, but he's his own man. And he was the one, you know, as I reported and as he said yesterday, who decided, you know, that he wanted to try to be part of the process of turning things around in Chicago.
That was Seth Wickersham with Spiegel & Holmes last week, the guy who is writing the book that will come out in September, but had the book excerpt. And, you know, really, that was what we touched on in the open, that my biggest takeaway, Judson Richards, back here with you on 670 The Score, is that although this was a story of a father and a son, the son made the biggest decision, and that tells you a lot about who Caleb Williams is. By the way, I've got a rule change for bench clearing in Major League Baseball. We'll roll that out for you coming up at 6:45. But right now, joining us on the Circa Sports Hotline is Marquee Sports Network, Scott Baer. Download the Circa app today. Scott, good to talk. We are about a week away from, a week removed, that is, from Caleb Williams addressing the media and now turning the page. What did you make of how QB1 handled himself?
I thought he handled it pretty well. He took to the podium a week late for my taste, but I'm sure that wasn't his decision. And I thought he said the right things, and he included something that did kind of get lost in all the sexy headlines of no one helped me watch film, and they wanted to pull in Eli Manning and avoid the Bears altogether, was that after the pre-draft visit to Halas Hall, he said, I want to go there. I don't want to scorched earth the city of Chicago. I want to represent well. And he borrowed a Ben Johnson line that was, change the narrative. Look for it as an opportunity to do something that's never been done here before, as opposed to facing the long line of failed first-round quarterbacks. I had to go to find a successful one, Judson. I had to go deep into a Pro Football Reference rabbit hole. The last successful first-round draft pick was Jim Harbaugh in 1987.
That's
true
right.
Story. Yeah, not a great lineage, but Caleb Williams is going to try to break that trend.
I talked about a little bit in the open. It's hard to believe. I mean, Caleb Williams paid the price for conversations that he had, right? For thoughts that he had, things that he didn't actually do. The main headline is, he decided his fate, and his fate was going to be, I'm going to try to change things around for the Bears organization. And so that's where we move along to. Minicamp begins tomorrow. Will we get a pretty good idea of how far along Caleb is in this new Ben Johnson offense?
I think so. There's still going to be a lot of mistakes that are made that may be uncharacteristic for a team that had been well-versed in a system for a couple of seasons. We're going to see that. There's some technical things that he's working out, as Caleb calls it, the quote-unquote Ben Johnson effect, which he said with a wry smile, because obviously Ben Johnson is everybody's favorite person in the city of Chicago outside of Pete Crow Armstrong, and he is making some tweaks, so we're going to see some mistakes. I like the fact, now, the media doesn't get to watch every practice, right? So you see a coach yell or scream or tell a team to do the huddle all over again. I don't think that means he's like the second coming of Bill Parcells or Tom Coughlin. I think what he's trying to do, he's trying to implement an attention to detail and set a standard with every practice rep of what they're going to do. So I think that we should see improvement from Caleb Williams, but we're going to see a lot of mistakes heading up to September, and that's going to be just fine.
Scott, I do believe the rule as of now is we need to get a PCA reference in every segment. So thank you for taking care of that. He's Scott Baer, the Marquee Sports Network, with us on 670 The Score. All right, Scott, you've covered four different organizations. You have seen a lot of coaches. You've seen a lot of new coaches come in to take over. Overuse phrases when there is a new coaching staff at times, practices are more intense or there's more attention to detail. Are we using new coachisms or are these things very, very obvious right now at Lake Forest as opposed to the previous regime?
Yeah, we're in a honeymoon period right now. I'm sure Matt Eberflus got one. I guarantee you that Matt Nagy did too. So in these early goings, different is always better, right?
Right.
And when you're When your predecessor was Matt Eberflus, that's going to be real easy. I take lots of pot shots at him. Great coordinator, not a good head coach. And not a great leader of men, I would say. I think Ben Johnson is a lot of those things. So it's tough because when I say I've covered like 12 different head coaches dating back to Marty Schottenheimer, and I say this guy's got it, I always have to offer the caveat of, well, I think he does, but we'll have to see if he can win football games, right? And I also think it's fair, something that my partner on the Chicago football show, Carmen Vitale, who she calls herself a wet blanket, but she's almost always accurate, is that if you go back to Ben Johnson's first season as offensive coordinator, I think they started 1-6, right? Yep. That Ben Johnson offense didn't look anything like it did the last two seasons. So guess what? There's going to be some hiccups. There's going to be some bumps in the road as they start to understand this new language, this new standard, this new way of operating, that we have to be able to accept the excitement, but have some perspective on what we're seeing and watching. If it doesn't go well over the course of camp, or if during, over mini camp, it looks like hot flaming garbage, okay, fine. Like he is afforded some patience to be able to ramp this thing up. I think that's something that everybody talks about, this 3-year window, right? Odangbo and all the offensive linemen, they're all signed through 27, right? And that provides a 3-year window. It also provides a ramp up year too, right? To get everybody used to it, and then you can see it kind of really get cranked up. So yes, there's a lot of nice things that will be said about Ben Johnson. I think he has deserved them, but they all come with a caveat.
Scott, this is a team that asked to be coached harder. That may be a little bit of careful what you ask for. Could you see the new style perhaps not sit well at all with some of these veteran players?
Yeah, I think players want two things, right? It's what we all want. We want a good quality of life and a lot of happy moments, right? So that comes for an NFL player, that's paychecks and wins, right? They want both of those things. So can you give me the next big paycheck, and can you help me win? Those things normally go hand in hand. So right now there's buy-in because he's got street cred, right? The Lions offense is fun to watch. They're entertaining as heck. He takes Jared Goff and turns him into a top tier quarterback, right? And I'm sure that when the wide receivers, Rome Odunze, looks at Jameson Williams, and they look, and Colston Loveland looks at Sam Laporta and says, Ben Johnson made him good and is going to help him get paid, right? So right now, that's the thing that they believe. Now, if it happens down the road, that's another thing. But I do think there's buy-in. I think he has a lot of respect around the league. He was the top head coaching candidate for two cycles and chose the Bears, chose them over other offers that I'm sure were super scary, average annual value high. So he's got it right now. The way you keep it is if you play entertaining football, you put players in the best chance to win. Those guys have anywhere between 3.5 and 7, 8, 9 years in the league. You want as many wins as possible. You want as much money as possible, and they don't have time to waste.
He's Scott Baer, the Marquee Sports Network. Sam, let's talk about that offensive line a little bit. Does it look like they're just holding a spot for Braxton Jones with keeping Darnell Wright at right tackle? What do you see that's happening as of now at left tackle?
Yeah, it sure seems that way, doesn't it? Now, they may experiment with Darnell Wright down the road at some point, but it does seem like they're going to see what Braxton Jones looks like when he comes back to health. And he could be limited even at the start of training camp. That ankle surgery that he had is no joke. He's been out of the boot for a while. He is on pace for a return, but it is kind of a wait and see thing. I did think it was interesting that the Darnell Wright deal was floated, but he ultimately ends up staying at right tackle. And while Ben Johnson kind of hedged his bets and said never say never, he did say they're very comfortable with him at right tackle. I am always concerned when you move offensive linemen and you get worse at one spot and maybe a little bit better at the other one, right, because of the transition that's going on. So I don't see any – and look, is Braxton Jones the best run blocker in history? He is not. Right, but he's a good pass protector. He checks all the boxes. We saw how bad they got when he was hurt. I think he's a serviceable left tackle, and you can put him in there. You can let him compete. If the Boston College kid comes out of nowhere and wins that job, bully for him. If he doesn't, you have a season to wait and see what you've got. The one difficult thing, though, Judson, is they're paying tons and tons of money to their three interior guys. And Darnell Wright's on a rookie deal for now. Left tackles, even mid-tier left tackles, are not cheap. How many heavy, big-ticket players are you going to have in your front five? You probably want two rookie deals in there. But if they only have one, and then you have to pay Braxton $10-plus million per year, that's a lot of salary cap percentage in one position group.
Yeah, yeah, that's a great thought by you. Scott, what about Colston Loveland? Is he at full speed yet?
No, and I don't think that they're going to take the training wheels off, for lack of a better term, until we get to training camp. Colston has said a couple different times that he's able to run, he's able to lift. He just can't run as fast or lift as heavy. So that's
gotcha.
Part of the process as we get him back in. You can tell he's ready to go, though, because during individual drills, he's like mimicking technique and mimicking movements. That's what he was doing during a rookie minicamp. I know he wants to get out there, but the Bears aren't going to rush it. A lot of this stuff is mental install anyway. Of course, he could use the reps all rookies can, but I would anticipate July when he really gets kind of cranked up.
Is he behind the eight ball at all?
I don't think so. Again, every rep for a rookie is worth its weight in gold. That's why Ozzy, I think I'm pronouncing his last name, Trapillo. I'm not quite sure.
Yeah.
Trapillo. As bad as a TV guy, I should be able to know those types of things. But every rep for him on both sides is crucial. So, yes, Loveland would be better off getting these repetitions. I guarantee you that Luther Burden certainly would while he's dealing with a soft tissue deal. Receivers as rookies, that's a tough position to play, man. There's a lot of mental math going on without much communication. So those guys could use it, but I wouldn't say that they're behind. There's going to be plenty of time in training camp to get cranked up.
Yeah, I Googled pronunciation for Ozzy, and it took me to this random person. He was interviewing at maybe the Senior Bowl or something, and the guy just asked him, how do you say your last name? And he said Trapillo. And I was like, all right, it's great to hear right from the horse's mouth.
I know.
Roster weakness, Scott. What area would you point at, concerns, heading into this season, offensive side, defensive side of the ball, what position group you think may be the weakest as of now?
Now, it's wacky for me to say this because they just spent a bunch of money in the position group, but defensive line depth, troublesome for sure. They got a good core four, right? A darn near excellent one. And with the way that Dennis Allen's defense runs, it sort of doesn't really have, it doesn't really have a nose tackle. I mean, yes, it does. People play that technique, but I would expect a lot of Gervon Dexter. I think Andrew Billings is going to have his place. And so they've got good depth on the inside. Chris Williams can play off the edge. I'm a little concerned because you saw Montez Sweat kind of wear down through no fault of his own over the course of the season, just with all the nicks and you know, he took a spike to his shin and all these things that I think kind of wore him down a little bit. Odangbo can be a three-down starter, but look at who you got behind him. And it's no knock to these guys, but Dominique Robinson and Austin Booker haven't proved anything. Daniel Hardy is being tried out as an off-the-ball linebacker, so there just isn't a lot of depth there. And then running back, I like DeAndre Swift. I think he has a place on a certain type of team with a certain type of line that he's got now. It's no coincidence his best year was with the Eagles and their all-world offensive line. I just look at J.K. Dobbins, and he's just sitting out there, street free agent. Mm. They have a little bit of cap space after the extension. But anyway, so they got a little bit of extra cap space. I'm sure the J.K. Dobbins waiting maybe for like an injury or something like that, or he's got a certain price value. If he goes into training camp and he's still not signed, the Chargers have like a weird tender that they placed on him that they kind of get like exclusive negotiating rights. It's a long-winded way of saying I think J.K. Dobbins would look great in navy and orange. And I think he had a career high for yards per carry working with Jim Harbaugh's offense. He's a physical guy, tough as nails. I think he would really add to that room. If you don't make an addition, and look, I haven't seen the Rutgers kid practice very much. There's a lot of unknowns there, and maybe he could be good off the top, but I wouldn't risk it. It seems like they checked every box except that one. I would add a running back, and I would do it soon.
He is a travel ball dad. He is Scott Bear of the Marquee Sports Network, does a great job covering the Bears. Scott, great to talk tonight. Thanks for your time.
Thank you, Justin. Anytime, man.
All right, so Scott likes J.K. Dobbins. At least he's younger when it comes to, you know, your free agent running backs, only 4 years in the league. Do you have a favorite free agent running back? You can text us 312-644-6767. We can get back to that, because one thing that Ben Johnson, we should know about his offense, is in Detroit, there was always the threat of the run. Third and 12, they wanted you to think that they were going to run the ball. How do you do that? Well, you got to run it successfully to always be able to threaten the run. So I still have a lot of questions about the quarterback, or the running back room, that is. We can get back to that. But coming up next, did you see what happened between the White Sox and the Orioles over the weekend? I've got a question for you. Major League Baseball has just about wiped out bench-clearing brawls, if you will. So should they just do away with the whole benches clearing thing? We'll tackle that coming up next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Save up to 50% with minimum purchase at Blinds.com. And a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 50% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From both teams from center field. Little Saturday in the park here at Camden Yards. Tempers flaring.
And look at that. Mayo, the first one to leave the pile. Isn't it funny how that starts? The guy who starts things off is the first one to leave the field.
Well, that might
make
be
an exit, Mr.
Right?
Mayo.
That might
make
be,
your exit.
Be something to get this White Sox team, wake them up a little bit. You see, he clearly runs in.
Look at
I
that.
Mean, that's
Come
way
on.
Out of the line.
All right, that was a call on CHSN Saturday. A little dust up, a little kerfuffle, if you will. I don't know if I would even call it that. Judson Richards back here with you on 6-7 The Score. By the way, we will talk more baseball, more Cubs coming up at 7 o'clock. Mark Sweeney, who covers Major League Baseball for FS1, also played 14 years in the bigs. We'll talk some Cubs, some Cards, and some NL Central with him coming up shortly. But that was a call on CHSN. That was what unfolded between, listen, Orioles, White Sox. If you're in a rundown, Mayo did what you're taught to do. The guy without the ball, you try to run into them, and then you're awarded the next base. It looks a little silly when you run into the grass and then extend your arms to make contact because you're just running out of the baseline. And then Lenin Sosa's like, hey, what's up, man? And then Mayo pushes him. I did appreciate that Rojas pushed him in the back as he was walking off of the field. I was like, okay, let's get this going a little bit because – and I looked – I'm telling you – I maybe there's someone out there on the text line that can find this for me. I was looking for like a statistical breakdown year by year of how many mound charges we've had over the years in baseball because it feels like they're less and less. I believe there are less and less mound charges around Major League Baseball. And I'm not a likes to fight guy, but I do think that if you look at the rule changing in Major League Baseball and if you just look at how many free agents there are and guys that have played together, played in the minors together, but specifically the rule changes, right? The rule changes in the Major League Baseball, I think it has lessened some rivalries. It may not allow for there to be more rivalries. And it also just leads to less fights. So if you're not going in hard and taking guys out at second base to break up a double play, if there are no longer collisions at home plate like we used to see many years ago, and if you can't pitch inside regularly because umpires immediately give warnings, like we saw between the White Sox and the Cubs, then you're just going to have less beef. You're going to have less fights. And so I kind of think, hey, no more benches clearing. It kind of looks like outside of a popular bar at 2 a.m. when you've been kicked out. Everyone's just standing around and talking. And then we have the absurdity of the bullpen running in. Like, no one's fighting. You guys haven't stretched in an hour and a half. You're probably going to pull a hamstring, and then you walk back.
It's so performative.
Thank you. That's the perfect word, Studs. And, you know, we've done this beautiful thing where we've sped up the game of Major League Baseball, right? I looked at it. Last year, 2 hours and 36 minutes was average game. Right now, getting a little long at 2 hours and 39 minutes. You know why it's probably a little bit longer? Because of fat bullpen guys who run out onto the field for the performative benches clearing because they're a good teammate. And then they walk their way probably back to the bullpen out behind the fences. One of the things that I love bat flips. Bat flips are great. All right. I love letting guys celebrate a strikeout. You know, it's like what was the saying? Let them play, let them be kid, let them have fun. I don't remember the saying, but when you allow for more celebration, then you do ask for less drama. That was one of the outcomes for saying it's okay to do bat flips. It's okay for a pitcher, you know, to pump his fists or scream when he strikes you out. We have lessened a lot of the drama because we have tried for there to, we've really allowed there to be more celebration, more personality in the game. I get it. But the White Sox and the Cubs game was a great example of how you can somewhat deteriorate when it comes to some of the great rivalries we've seen. When the Cubs throw at Miguel Vargas because he blocked the vision of PCA looking towards home. By the way, I was surprised to see Keller throw at him because it's not as blatant as it used to be. But when they immediately warn both benches, both dugouts, both managers that you can't pitch inside, you take away the inside of the plate, and then you take away any sort of retaliation. And that's where we are in the game as of now. It's one of the things I loved about the offseason, really kind of celebration of the rivalry in the Packers and the Bears, because they're going away. With as many college relocations in all of these conferences, sports have changed drastically in front of us. And Major League Baseball, I'm not going to call it a softening, but it's a little bit of that. So let's just acknowledge where we are. And let's say, hey, the game has changed. what other sport do we watch where the benches can get involved in what's happening on the field? What happens in the NBA? If you leave the bench, you're suspended. You face a suspension. The NFL? Imagine the content we would get out of that if there was some sort of a dust-up and some linebacker or someone ran out on the field to get involved. It would never happen.
There's always a... If something happens on the sideline between an opposing player and the players of whatever team sideline it is, right. Remember last year that happened during the Bears-Texans game? Yep. There was a little something on the sideline.
Yeah, there's a shoving, and then and oftentimes there's repercussions because of it, and that's off the field. So on the field as of now, if these guys want to throw down, let's do it. But Mayo walked off the field, as Schriffen mentioned, right? Like, he somewhat started the beef and then walked off the field, and then we have this performative thing where everyone has to run out there and stand around. I mean, Mayo was the ultimate hold-me-back guy. He waited for 11 dudes to get out there, and then he turned around and opened his mouth. What are we doing? What are we doing? Let's just stop it. Let's just acknowledge that the game has drastically changed, and if someone wants to charge the mound... Okay, I guess it would be a little lopsided if you've got one hitter and 11 guys out there. But from a benches clearing standpoint, maybe we allow the benches to clear when someone charges the mound. But if it happens on the bases, it just seems like we're going through the motions to try to, you know, drum up things that happened in the past, right? Send me a text, 312-644-6767. Your favorite benches clearing brawls that we've watched throughout the years. And then are there any similar that we're seeing today? I'm not asking for more fights. I'm just saying if we're going to change the rules, let's change them all the way. We've got a wonderful pace of play. Guys, just stay in the dugout. Just stay in the dugout, keep it moving, and especially stay in the bullpen because we don't need any of that. Let's stick with baseball. Let's get back to the Cubs. What team in the NL Central is most likely to challenge the first-place Cubs in that division? We'll ask Fox analyst Mark Sweeney coming up next on 6-7 The Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Oh, it's such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Save up to 50% with minimum purchase at Blinds.com. And a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 50% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.